82 and going strong. She had some big surgery this year, but came out of it wonderfully. And so she's here 6 months every year and then forces herself to go down to Florida. But she'd like
to
be here.
In the big house.
She lives in the big house for some of June, all of July and August, and some of September. And then they bought the farmhouse up island.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives in that in May and October. And she just loves it. Well, that's. I was wondering if you had any good prohibition stories, because I know Grandpa Alexander, the minister, ran liquor down from Canada with his boat.
Well, I used to play the auger.
Oh, did you? Oh my goodness!
And of course, I remember Dr. Alexander.
What was he like?
Well, he was big.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd have liked him very much if I met him.
He was big and the sweat but he was getting rested. And I said something about it was hot. And he said, oh, I'm getting used to it. But she says, I know that what's going to happen to me. He means he's going to hell. And he was just laughing by the water was coming. So I used to tell you that I wasn't married then. Al got the job for me, so he got out in Dudley. So I remember him, because he preached it. He was at and then Greg Powell. And then I played Wildlife as Mary.
You did.
And then I was playing over here. Back and forth to the island. I didn't, after David was born, I retired down here. And then when Anson, we had another younger one, 8.5 years, he was about a year old, I guess, and had old on the Western Conference. And he volunteered that I would play.
Oops.
I was there 17 years.
Oh my word.
And I had a choir.
So you ran the choir too?
And a children's choir, but I. So I used to go back and forth. So I was here more than I had to look on the album. I used to go back and book people.
You must, really? That must have been very hard. You never knew where you know, how to pack and where to.
Well, I had to travel on the ferry, but they called me the London Blue. Buddy McCarr.
Buddy McCarr.
Always helped me on and off the ferry.
Oh, good.
Because I had to climb all the eight on the eight. I used to do that with David in the ferry. All on the ferry. I don't know how I ever did it, but I did.
Absolutely. Well, I didn't know if you remembered anything about prohibition in yourself.
Sure, I remember about it. Ralph
has got some good stories, and so does Jack.
Ralph Leach was the station agent over there on the island.
Oh, that yes, he was.
Yeah, that's why they stored all the liquor.
Well, he really had some adventures.
Yeah. Emory Gray was mixed up in it. I guess Emory made a few trips out and brought the booze in the boat and they stored it in the railway express agency.
Isn't that amazing? What, were they offloading from Canadian boats that were standing out?
They were outside, yeah.
And so that was all legal because it was outside the limits. But yeah. Once those boats came in, right?
We wasn't on the island then.
Yeah.
Well, I was always animals in school.
Did you ever see how some of those boats were constructed to disguise the fact that they were heavily loaded?
Yeah, well, they were fast, and the guy running them knew where to go. They could find all the places where they'd get through, but of course, guy boats couldn't. I know one time, during prohibition, there was a still Bigfoot was one of those prohibition officers, and his brother Henry Bigfoot was bookkeeper. My father was at the boatyard. I just a kid. And one time night, there was all at the boatyard there over the Henry Bigfoot's camp playing cards right across the gulf that run loading liquor hiding in the woods. They never knew about it either. I mean, they hid it and then they got it out there and killed it, but never caught it. Didn't know what was going on. Those were some funny actions.
It seems to, what Ralph told me was that nobody ever really got angry at anybody else because they knew they were all doing something that was illegal. So that there was some stealing from each other.
Nobody, no shooting of anybody.
No, there was, yeah, exactly. There was no violence.
No, it was just a game.
Yeah?
That's all it was.
Were they mostly bringing in white lightning, or were they bringing in good Canadian scotch?
Well, they had good Canadian booze. And there was people out of camp, and when they'd bring it in up the shore somewhere, and when they landed it, they had a nice carpet to roll right down the beach so that it wouldn't fall down. When the beach were all slippery, but they'd roll that carpet down to a nice dry place to walk. And I forgot the how that I worked for while I was going to college. He would come up on the Boston boat and he'd bring out hand brand alcohol, five gallon can right on the Boston boat.
Uncle Dudley sounds like an amazing person. Mm-hmm. I see pictures of him and hear stories about him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad to know that Dr. Alexander wasn't the only one running it. He's a good company.
No, we end up with alcohol, a 5 gallon can. Sunday morning, we used to make gin.
What was your recipe?
I don't know. He knew how to do it. I was up there helping him, but I don't know how he did it.
And then you wouldn't drink it all. I mean, it wouldn't all be drunk by the person just making it. So then it would get passed on again. Is that right?
I know one time. And a gallon jug to fill up before he did. Then the bottle broke out the jug. It all went down the... He groaned about that.
Back from gin.
Well, Ralph said that he remembers the recipe to be one of these containers of white lightning, I guess. I mean, that's, you know, was it pure grain alcohol?
Yep.
And then cut it with 4 parts water, and then add the juniper berries for flavor. And I guess that gave it the gin taste. He said, you just let it simmer for a while.
We're all a game anyhow.
Well, it's nice that nobody got hurt.
And some of those, I guess some of those, some shooting in the offshore boat once in a while. And those are I'm on one of those boats. They had a steel bulkhead right, right back of the wheelhouse.
Oh, really?
Boilerplate. Down in the stern, so they fired out of it. The bullets just bounced off.
But that was that a...
I can't remember the name for any of those boats.
Were those the Canadian boats or the main boats?
The American boats.
They were going out? Well, I gathered that some of the islands, like Hog Island, the East Shore, East Bay Islands, had some good caves on them. So that they'd stash it there, and then Ralph Leach and his gang would go over and get it when they needed it and bring it back. But that was sort of like a warehouse for it, too. Now, how did Mr. Gibson get his? Do you know? I mean, was that, how did he get a little something to drink? Did he get some, I mean, I gather the butlers were the ones who were sort of the go-betweens in some of the big houses. And how do you negotiate, I wonder, if you have any idea?
I have no idea.
That's something I haven't been able to figure out yet. Wow. Is that a painting of Mr. Gibson's for you?
That picture? That's
oh,
Gibson.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it certainly looks that way.
That was our wedding present.
It's wonderful.
It's an old thing.
It's beautiful.
That's up on the old hill looking down to the mission place. I wish to get you a good artist. When Spruce Island burned, he was right down there on the shore taking a picture of it.
Didn't take him very long. That was quite a fire. If the wind had changed, it would have been a disaster. But it didn't. They blew away from him.
When was that? Do you remember?
What?
Do you remember when that fire was?
I don't remember. It must have been the 40s.
Yeah, it seems to me 40s.
It's David. David was born. He was born in 42. So it was in the 40s.
Mm. Interesting.
I know Mr. Gibson painted a lot of stuff all over the state of Maine. Merrill, when Merrill Young was working for him, Merrill was driving around to different places. Painted covered bridges and all kinds of things all over the state. I don't know where all those pictures went to, what he did with them.
Yeah. Well, I think they're from, they had an exhibition once. They wanted this picture and it's got our name on it, Dot Mail Martin, and I didn't give them $100 to buy for it. It was over there in the museum. They had some.
So they were trying to do
that? No.
You know, I don't blame you. It's scary to transport something like that, but
and I don't think
know.
They wanted the responsibility of it where it had our names on it. But he had put to Dot Mail on it.
Oh, that's really
mail.
Yeah, Anne has one. Anne Alexander Owsley has a painting by him too, and I think it's also of 700 Acre Island, but it's not as beautiful as that. It's a horse and wagon on a hill. Probably no hill.
Well, David's from his there.
Well, the way he painted that, shadow and everything, it's almost like a photograph.
Yeah, really. It's beautiful.
Yeah. He was a great artist, there's no question about it.
We have two boys, it's hard to know which one to he would go on the road better than he did.
What's
I guess he did.
Now, Anson is teaching and fishing, is that right?
Oh, he lives over in Green Haven.
You, in the summer?
Yeah, but he sold his house in Green Haven this summer.
Oh, yeah.
So he has Winston, he left with a new haul and his new truck, and he's gone back to Venice for all that. But then he was bad last winter. His wife was in Ireland.
Okay.
So he'd be back in April, which seems a long time.
Okay.
To us, bathing, but so we do come.
Oh, okay.
And we have two grandchildren. They're both in college.
That's wonderful. Well, Charlie and I sailed over to Cree Haven a few years ago and asked if Anson was around that day. He must have been fishing, I guess, and he'd love to have seen him. Yeah, they said, oh no, he's out today.
He has an older for something. And he does a lot of work for much permits. Because he has all those houses, and Anson does a lot of repair work. People in the summer come and looks after them when people come for the weekend.
Oh, good. I really liked Cree Haven. I didn't like Matinica so much.
And of course the plane flies into Matinica a lot. And she flies out of York in the summer. Her daughter lives in York and she can
Now, are there Nortons still living on Matinicus itself?
No, no Nortons on Matinicus now.
Another thing I learned from my letters was that in the 1850s, an enterprising young man from Acre Island had a sloop, and he'd sail it to Matinicus, and the fishermen would sell him their fish, and he'd put them in the sloop, and then he'd sail the fish to Bangor and sell them. And so he was sort of the middleman. And I didn't realize there would be fish brokers on the main coast in 1850, you know. But,
Well, they're all gone. You know, we're not blessed with Cree Haven. So, and of course, I have his grandfather who was lighthouse keeper down here. And so they just had a lot of exhibitions of Cherry's Island in the library. Have you seen our new?
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
The new world. It's all underground.
And people love it, don't they?
Yeah. And there's a Jane Pickle room where they had a lot of stuff from about it. Negro. It was Negro Island and I used to stay there weekend with his grandfather.
Do you know
and
why
was
it was called that?
Island.
Do you have any idea why it was called Negro Island?
Well, the story was that long ago, a vessel came in here, and there was a Negro port.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came by the island, this coach said, "That's my island." and they called it Negro Island. That's the story, as far as I know, sir. Probably true.
And then they renamed it later. Mm-hmm. It's on the side of Curtis. Because he did so much.
When I was a kid growing up, it was Negro Island.
Well, that's really...
He was a light keeper there from 1907 to 1920.
Oh, my word.
And he used to go back and forth, he said. He was like 6 years old.
I liked it up there. I got to go fishing and he had a nice cow. And he raised some pigs. He had a nice guy, didn't he?
That sounds wonderful for a kid.
Right very far from his house, right across the...
And he had a little, nice little fellow, though.
It was the lighthouse service then.
That's great.
One of the coal guys was a plane out of service. And he started out and on the Pelican Rock. And they wanted to get near the shore.
I was going to say, that's pretty lonely.
Grant were people from the Pelican Rock. My grandfather was a subkeeper, I don't know. So they put a, he wanted to get nearer the mainland, so they put a lighthouse on the Saddleback. And made him the keeper. Well, they had a lot of weather. And they got a boat built just where he wanted it. And that was a little improvement from the Seneca Rock. And the next move was from there to Bigelow Island.
Oh, that's cool.
I guess he could have gone to Nash Island down east, but he didn't want to go there, so they put him on Bigelow Island.
That's a good choice.
He was there until he retired.
I think that I don't want to overstay my welcome. I think I don't want to push my luck with you people.
Well, I have to go and get his lunch pretty soon because
yeah.
I have to go do it.
But I hate to, I don't want to wear you out.
No.
You're pretty tough.
Well, I think of these things, yeah. I'm getting the age on my memory and always as good as it should be.
Oh.
I think about them like, I know what the cat said the net.
Well, can I ask you if I go over this tape and have some further questions? Could I make a visit again for some follow-up questions?
Yeah.
I'd really appreciate that. And I will do some checking around to see, well, maybe I'll go over to Acre Island this weekend and see if I can find any remnants of that land between that, between Acre Island and Warren Island, and see if there are any, you know, leftover clues there about that having been a road. That would be really wonderful. And,
well, I know my father telling about Rome Cleveland riding up across there,
Kennedy. The other person I might talk to is Miriam Pendleton, who is the last Philbrook, apparently, and I'm not sure that her Philbrooks were the ones on Acre Island or whether they were the ones on Islesboro. So, she may give me some ideas that I can then come back and ask you about. So.
Well, I think he told her about all he knows. But we left the island first and sold it. All the land, the whole thing.
Was that hard?
What?
Selling and just walking away from all of that? Or were you tired?
You know, Anson wanted a piece of the gut, but they had sold the whole thing. Anson didn't like it, but he wanted a piece of it.
Well, I was tired.
You've worked hard.
I guess work, blood. Just didn't want any more to. Just too much business, right? Too much paperwork and everything, and the government was making it more difficult all the time. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, you were looking for the government half the time. And so, during the war, it was all right. I didn't mind it then. While we were doing stuff with the Navy, but later on, I just got to the point I just didn't want to keep at it. I figured if I were going to make a change and have a few years to do something I wanted to do, I better do it.
Yep, I'll bet. Well, I'd say that boat was a wonderful alternative.
Well, it was.
A good adventure.
We had a lot of fun with that boat.
I think my husband has this little niggle in the back of his head that he'd like to do something like that someday, but he doesn't, he's not as good on the water as his brother Sandy. And he's been, you know, Sandy's been spending time with boats, and Charlie's a doctor, and
mm-hmm.
he'd have to do a lot of learning before he felt he could do that. You're fortunate. You're very fortunate.
Don't be fortunate that I'd like to want him, too.
Yes. Yes.
I always did. I missed the boat.
Do you?
But he wasn't well, and so...
Now, where is that boat around at all?
No, it's not around.
Well, I'm not a sailing wife, and we had that Bristol 40 sailboat, and it was too much for the two of us. I hated holding that boat into the wind while Charlie was up.
Lot of luck on a sailboat.
Yeah, but last weekend we went down to Newport and we bought ourselves another sailboat. And it's smaller, it's very fast, and all the lines come into the cockpit. And that way...
We'll have to roll on deck.
And that, I feel much better about that. I just hated it when he was up there, and I thought, I've got three little kids down below. I don't want him to fall overboard, and you know, what do I do now? So, this is much better with all the... He doesn't have to leave the cockpit, any of us.
Well, Perry Goldsmith, you know, down on the south end of Islesboro,
mm-hmm.
you're a nice guy, a smart man, he had a sailboat.
Did you call him Petticoat Smith?
Perry Goldsmith. Yeah.
Perry Goldsmith, that's what
I'm saying. And he kept that boat for quite a while, and then He tried to trade it with me. He wanted me to build him a powerboat. He'd give me the sailboat. And he told me he was worried at his age and sailing. He was afraid that he might get overboard or something and not get back. And he wanted to get out of that sailboat and get a powerboat. But he sold the sailboat. We had a place down far, and he died down there. He had a heart attack, didn't he? But he was I liked him very much. He was a man, an engineer, an architect. He and I got along real well.
Now, I was going to talk to Robin Quimby. Did you know Robin? Did he ever help out at your place?
Well, he worked on it for quite a while.
That's what I figured.
He worked over down the aisle during the war. All during the war. And after the war.
Hmm. I mean, I think it's amazing.
He was an engineer on the Dunham Rand for a long time.
Well, he just has seen the whole evolution of marine engineering, hasn't he?
Yeah.
From the engines, literally the engine standpoint. He lives in Augusta.
Yep, the son of Charles. When they worked over in New York. Cabot, Lyman Cabot plays over.
Oh, right. Okay.
He's going to retire, I guess.
Yeah, he had some funny prohibition stories, too. He said, oh, I didn't know anything about it. It had nothing to do with me. But, and then he'd go into these stories that he knew. He had his hand a little bit involved.
Yeah.
which is really fun. Well, I will leave you in peace, and I want to thank you very much for your willingness to chat with me.
I'm glad we can help you out.
Well, I think you have.